First Chronicles, chapter 4. I've had several times in the last 17 years here that I have mentioned Jabez, talked about him for a few minutes, but for the first time tonight, I'm preaching an entire message on Jabez, the blessed of God, and I am so excited. I feel like the preacher that said he passed flying nuns on the way to church. It's about how excited I am right now to do this. This is, you know, I'm just having my devotions, and the Lord helps me and teaches me and lets me meditate on things, and I just feel like the most blessed person in all the world. But Jabez, the blessed of God. I said the last time I read through the Bible, a few months ago, I talked about Jabez a minute, and I said about 15 years ago, somebody wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez, and oh, you know, they made t-shirts and coffee mugs and a calendar and a devotional and all kinds of things about the prayer of Jabez, and it was kind of silly what they did, almost like if you'd take these words and just throw them around, you know, then all these amazing things would happen. We're going to see tonight how wonderful this really is, though. But they did that, and then there was some reaction to that, almost to where people didn't want to think about Jabez or talk about the prayer of Jabez because these guys kind of to the left were taking it places that you really shouldn't take it. But let's tonight just look at it in Scripture and be so happy to see what God can teach us here. As you're reading through 1 Chronicles, I mean, you have to be honest, it's not the easiest part of the Bible to read through. It's interesting, you start Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech. That's how it begins. And then the first kind of thing that makes you go, oh, wow, what's that? When you get down to verse 10 of chapter 1, and Cush begat Nimrod, he began to be mighty upon the earth. Something more than just a name there. And I'll tell you, Nimrod is a key character in the Bible and in human events. Do you know that? You know, all of human history, you could boil down, and this is not an original idea with me. I'm stealing it from someone else. I forget who it was. One day I want to preach this idea, though, a tale of two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem. And when it's all said and done, that's what it's coming back down to, Babylon and Jerusalem. And, of course, for the Lord's people, we'll end up in the New Jerusalem, and the Babylonians are going in the lake of fire. That's where they're going. That's where it's headed. But fascinating how all of a sudden Nimrod, a little extra, is said about him. And then you're reading and reading and all of these different names, these different people, and a little bit of detail about some, but you get to chapter 4 and you read the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Hazelelponi. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah. And Esher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives. He and Naara bare him Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Timani. Heheshtari, these were the sons of Naara, and the sons of Hela were Zerath, and Jezoar, and Ethnaon, and Kaz begat Anub, and Zobabah, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. Notice, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. Doesn't give all the names of the heads of those families who were the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. But just one name out of those families does God choose to really talk about here, and that in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, the other heads of the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Look at the exclamation point. This guy wasn't giving some little ritualistic prayer that he'd been fed somewhere, and he's just kind of having this drip out of his lips, you know, every morning. I mean, he is really crying out to God. He's exclaiming this, oh, God, that you would do this for me. And God granted him that which he requested. He had it. Jabez, the blessed of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all of the Word of God, and we're so thankful for this portion and how it can be a help to us and a blessing to us. It is, in truth, the Word of God. We must receive it as such. I pray tonight that you'd please help me to preach it as it's fitting. I pray that we'd each listen as is appropriate, and we'd receive this, and we'd follow in the steps of Jabez. This is a godly man, I'm convinced. This is a good scriptural prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name, be glorified. And Lord, may we all be honest. If anybody in this room right now is doing anything, has a hard attitude, has anything about them that is quenching or grieving the work of your Holy Spirit, I pray right now we'd turn from it. I pray we'd turn it loose. We'd turn away from it. I pray we'd break down every idol and cast out every foe, that you may have your complete way in this place this evening. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. They were honorable. He was more honorable. The other heads of the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram of the tribe of Judah, were honorable men. The word honorable here has to do with they were respected men. They were men in leadership. They were men with riches. Jabez was more than the rest of them. He was honorable outwardly, but the emphasis here moves to the inward honor that he had, his trust in God, the God of Israel. Speaking of the God of the man, Israel, who was Jacob, who God named Israel. The Bible tells us that Jabez wanted to be blessed, and truly he was a blessed man. And when you look at the word blessed in the Old Testament, so often it has to do with being happy. It's happy. It's blessed. Happy in the service of the Lord. God has blessed him. He's happy Jabez. His name, Jabez, is sorrow. But he's blessed Jabez. You could say he is happy sorrow. Isn't that interesting to think about that? Jabez, sorrow, but he's a blessed man. Let's look at this tonight with three headings. Number one, his beginning was sorrowful. Number two, his begging was scriptural. And number three, his blessing was superb. Everybody could get that. Everybody could jot that down. You could take that with you. Later, maybe write that nice and neatly in your Bible. And you could say, you know, it's what it says, that we're not trying to wrest the scriptures and twist the text and squeeze something out of it. It's just what it says. His blessing, his beginning was sorrowful, his begging was scriptural, and his blessing was superb. So let's talk a few minutes about his beginning. His mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Can you imagine having a name like that? I mean, most people name their kids something, you know, they're hoping they'll attain to, like Earl. Amen? And usually I call him Mr. Getch, or Brother Getch, but I'm just illustrating his name. They're saying Earl. So I'm guessing that means kind of like they want him to be kind of royal and honorable and respectable and all. And I think Robert has the same kind of idea. It's an Irish name of the same type of idea. Emily is industrious. Yeah, that's interesting. That's really come to pass. That name really fits Emily well. And here you have Jabez, sorrow. His mom bore him in sorrow. Imagine being a little boy and your friends say, what's your name? It's sorrow. Wow, must be a story behind that name, you know. Sorrow. Imagine that. Scripture doesn't tell us why she was sorrowful. I think you could have some ideas, but you always have to be careful at times like this to say this is an idea, okay? We do see in other places in Scripture when people got names like this. For instance, Benoni, whose name was changed to Benjamin, his mother called him Benoni, and that had to do with sorrow. She was dying when she gave birth to him. And I think she was sorrowful because she wouldn't get to see her little baby grow up into boyhood, and then the boy into manhood. But we don't know why this lady was sorrowful. We just know that bearing of him was in sorrow. Maybe there was some shame related to the conception. Maybe there was something shameful that took place that related to that very pregnancy of that boy that she bore and delivered. Or maybe her sorrow stemmed from the loss of another child. Maybe she'd been with child before this, and that one had perished in her womb or had perished at birth. Ladies in that time, and even really until very recently in human history, ladies would have many, many children. Only a few would make it to even to the 2 and 3 and 4 year old stage. So often, And many of you know what I'm talking about. You've read about different people that they've written biographies of and all. And, you know, the lady maybe had 17 or 18 children, and two made it to adulthood. We don't know why she was sorrowful. Maybe she lost somebody very precious to her. Perhaps her husband had died when she was carrying this little one in her womb. Maybe she was sorrowing over the fact that her people were not taking all of the land that God had given to them in the promised land. This was the time when he was born. It was the time of Joshua when the people were to be taking all of the inheritance that God had allotted to them in the promised land. And this was the tribe of Judah. And Judah didn't take everything they could have taken. Maybe she was sorrowing over that. It does make you wonder, because later he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast." He's saying, "I want everything I'm supposed to get." She was sorrowful for some reason. We don't know exactly why. There are things we see in the Bible that did cause people to sorrow. Those three things I mentioned certainly show up in other places. Jabez was of the house or the tribe of Judah. Does anybody remember what the name Judah means? It means praise. It means praise. It means praising God. And so here's a young baby, a little boy, who's born into the tribe of praise, but he has a pitiful beginning. His mother bore him in sorrow. Wouldn't it be kind of sad if that's all it said, verse number 9, and then we just went right on to chapter verse 11, and Caleb, the son of brother of Shua, begat Mehir, which was the father of Eshton. And we'd say, wasn't that sad? This little fella was born, his name was Sorrow, and that's that. But you know what a difference calling on God made. Amen. What a difference hearkening back to the days of Israel and to what God had done with a man named Jacob. What a difference reflecting on the truth of how God had been working in human history and then responding to that meditation with crying out to God in prayer. What a difference that made in the life of Jabez. His beginning was sorrowful, but he became a beggar, and his begging was scriptural. And by the way, we ought to be beggars when it comes to prayer. We ought to realize we are beggars, and we ought to be constantly flinging ourselves down before the throne of God and begging God. And that's what, when the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee," when it uses those terms, it's talking about begging and shrieking and crying out to God. It's not this pompous type of prayer like some folks do. I mean, this is just getting down and saying, "Lord, I need you. Please help me." Getting serious about it. Let's think about this scriptural prayer. Number one, we see he called on the God of Israel. He did not rely on Jabez. Now, I think Thomas Jefferson's right when he says, the things that you can handle, you know, you handle them. Don't try to get somebody else to do the things that you can do yourself. That was one of his Ten Commandments for his life. And I think we ought to do the things that God's given us to do. We ought to say, "Lord, I trust you to help me do these things that I ought to do." But there's a lot of things we can't do that we need done in this life. And we ought not to be relying on self when we're talking about things we need omnipotence working in. And Jabez was not just a self-reliant man. He prayed. He cried out to God. Wake up and get a hold of this. You don't want to miss this. I feel your pain. The Bible says much study is weariness of the flesh. I didn't sleep a whole lot last night. I studied a lot today. And some of you men have about wore yourself out today working in the different places you work. But you want to get a hold of this. If you have to, stand up in the back and don't miss this. Jabez called on the God of Israel. He was not self-reliant. He prayed. You've heard me say it many times. I heard a man say years ago, prayerlessness is arrogance. That is so true. Oh, I'm fine. I've got it made. I'm all set. Don't be like that man that said, you know, my barns are overflowing, so what I'll do is I'll tear them down and I'll build bigger barns and I'll do this and that. And James warns about saying, hey, tomorrow we're going to go into such and such a city. We're going to stay 1 year. We're going to buy and we're going to sell and we're going to trade and we're going to do, and then we'll come back here with a bunch of money and we'll do. And he said, what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will be alive tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Jabez didn't just depend on self. He depended on God. He prayed. He didn't call on the false gods. He didn't pray to the God of Israel and also throw in Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech and Chemosh and some of the others for good measure, like some of those people were doing, trying to mix it all up, and that is abominable and wicked. God is God alone. You don't mix Him in with anything else or anyone else. But he didn't call on any false gods. He called on the God of Israel. But this really struck me as I meditated today in this passage and studied. Why does it say he called on the God of Israel? So often it's the God of Abraham, right? And of Isaac and of... But it says the God of Israel. And so I sat and I thought about that and I prayed about that and I considered Scripture. And you know what God reminded me of from Scripture? Israel was the name of the man that God changed from Jacob to Israel. This is the kind of guy that Jabez could look at and say, that's what I need. I need a God who's a name changer, because I got stuck with this name, Jabez, that means sorrowful. And so he got a hold of the name-changing God of Israel. The Bible tells us in Hosea 12:4 that God found, and that is the word in Scripture, he found Jacob in Bethel. In other words, don't say that Jacob found God at Bethel. God went after Jacob and found Jacob in Bethel. Amen. He went after him. Not that God didn't know where he was, but God stooped, God deigned, God condescended to say, okay, Jacob, I've let you do these things you're doing. I've watched you. You're crooked. You're deceitful. I know all about you, but I'm working on you, and I will win with you. And God started that great personal relationship and personal work on Jacob there in Bethel. Hosea 12:4 talks about that. Jacob, like Jabez, was a man with a lot of sorrow and hardships. You remember what Jacob said when he met Pharaoh? He said, few and evil have been my years, full of trouble. Remember Jacob's great saying, all these things be against me. Remember that? He was a man of grief himself. And all these generations later, Jabez knows about Jacob. He's learned about Jacob. By this time, Moses has written Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He knows about this. He's heard these things. And here's a man whose name is Sorrow. And he says, but God changed Jacob to Israel. And he calls out to God, the name-changing God, who could also change him from Jabez to blessed. God changed Jacob from a pitiful, crooked, pathetic, conniving, weaselly type of a man. He changed him to Israel, a powerful prince. And don't ever forget, Jacob's last years were blessed and happy, and Jacob's coast was enlarged as God turned his sorrow to singing. He turned his burdens to a blessing, and he turned Jacob's hurt to happiness. He went down to Egypt and said, I never thought I'd see you again, Joseph. And he said, here I am holding your sons. That's how Jacob got to go out singing instead of sighing, all these things be against me. I think that's why Jabez called on the God of Israel, not the God of Jacob, the God of Israel. He turned on the God who knows how to turn it around. Jabez needed something turned around. He prayed in faith. He believed God and begged God. It's a scriptural prayer. I read one time, a guy said, all this is nothing but selfishness Jabez wanted. Stop lifting him up. God said he was honorable. And when you have a man crying out to the God of Israel, amen to that. Amen. He wanted God to bless him. Someone might say, well, that's nothing but just lust. Don't you think that for 1 minute. God tells us in Scripture that Moses said, I've set before you blessing and a curse. Choose the blessing. I mean, Moses said, do you want thorns in your eyes? You want fish hooks in your nose? Sounds like a good life, huh? Your best life now. Do you want that? Do you want to have suffering and toil? Do you want to have the burning og? I don't even know what that is, but I don't want the burning og. Doesn't sound fun to me. He says, do you want mildew and mold? And do you want the hornets and all this stuff? Or he says, do you want blessing? Obey God and please God. God bless you in the fields and bless you at the house and bless you at the table. And I mean, on and on. And Moses said, choose the blessing. When Jabez said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me, that looks to me like a good thing. David said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be, what? Planted. Amen. Like a tree by the rivers of waters. And he shall bring forth, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. And so it's good to want to be blessed of God, but not a lustful, greedy, oh, I just wish God would make me great and super honorable and everybody would want to follow me and I'd get all kinds of money and riches and swimming pools and Cadillacs, Brother Bart, and all that type of stuff. I'm sorry, brother. Just hit me right there and came out right there. I didn't have any time to. All right. That's what some people think. Jabez wasn't praying lustfully. He was saying, I want the blessing of God. I just want to get everything I'm supposed to get in the perfect will of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen. It's a scriptural prayer. There's no mention. Think about this. There is no mention of a father to bless Jabez. Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob blessed his sons, and Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim. There's no mention of Jabez having a dad like that. But Jabez wanted the blessings of God, and Jabez did have a father in heaven who could bless him like that. Now, I think about that because we've got people in this room, several people in this room. You don't have what I had growing up. You don't have a dad. You haven't had a father who would lead you and teach you in the right way. Pastor Teal did not have that. And there's many of you in that situation. You didn't have a dad that taught you the scriptures and that blessed you and cried over you and prayed over you. And you kids that have that, you better start being thankful to God for that. You better start praising God for that. Thank God for that. And pay attention to godly fathers and mothers. But though you may not have a dad like that, there's a God in heaven who will do all of that for you. You don't have to feel like you're second place to anybody or anything. God can bless you just as He's blessed me. I remember just one of the first times I ever met Pastor Don Green. We talked a few minutes and our hearts kind of started getting knit together. And he said, I want you to kneel down. And he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he kneeled down and he didn't ordain me, but he put his hands on me and he said, Lord, I want you to bless this preacher. And I want you to teach him these things and do this and that. And you know what I did with that? I said, thank you, Father. Thank you, God the Father. And I rejoiced in that. That was a blessing. I didn't have some infusion of electrical power to where I woke, you know, thunderbolts come out of my fingertips and all this stuff. But I believe God absolutely blesses that type of thing. You see that in Scripture, don't you? And I pray like that over little babies when they're born. I know my father does. And we pray and we ask God to bless. I ask God to bless you. I ask God to bless you as individuals and as families and to bless us as a corporate body. Amen? I did that again today. I went chair by chair and prayed for every one of you that are members of this church by name. And cried a lot while I did it and thanked God for you. Because I believe in a God who blesses, and God wants to bless us. Sometimes we hinder the blessing of God, but Jabez wanted God to bless him in this sense. He said, enlarge my coast. Now, you say, well, how is that scriptural? That is exactly what God wanted them doing at that time. He wanted them enlarging their coast. All of those tribes were given certain allotments of land there in the promised land, and they were supposed to take all that was theirs. Sadly, they took a lot, but then they'd start bargaining and bartering and making little peace treaties and pacts and all with some of the heathen that they let live in the land. They put them in the land. They let them get under tribute. They made them servants and all. But he didn't want that as far as his portion in the portion of the tribe of Judah. It looks like Jabez wanted everything that was his that God had for him. And so he was praying for God to graciously work with him and in him in fulfilling God's will. He said, that thy hand might be with me. Do you see that? That thine hand might be with me. You ever notice in Scripture, people, the hand of the Lord is against them? I don't know how it is with you, but when I read those verses, that scares me to death. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, when I read stuff like that, a lot of times I write then and there stop, and I say, oh God, may it never be so. If there's anything in my life, if there's anything I'm putting up with in my household, if there's anything our church is doing that we'd have your hand against us, show it to us, reveal it to us, bring it to light that we might confess it and forsake it. We do not want God's hand against us. We want His hand with us. That's what He wanted. That's scriptural. That's scriptural. You know, it all reminds me of a verse, a couple of verses I've quoted so many times. Everybody out here ought to have it memorized. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You work out everything that God has given you in salvation For it's God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Jabez is saying, Lord, I want to get everything that you have for me to get. I want to take full possession of the land. And the secular histories and some of the Jewish traditions, and I'll tell us, well, God says here, right here, God says he did it. But some of those ancient historians and all, they say that he definitely became a man that multitudes even flocked to for Bible preaching and teaching, and he taught them how to judge righteous judgment and all of that. But God says he blessed him. Jabez is saying, I want to get everything God has for me. Don't you want that as a believer? Don't you want that as a New Testament saint? I mean, you can say, you know, well, Paul did say that some people will get there kind of by the skin of their teeth, you know. Yeah, but I don't read that and go, so hey, maybe that'll be me. Is that your attitude? No way. Our attitude is some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Let's get 100-fold for the glory of God. I don't look at John 15 and see that if you abide in me, every branch that abideth in me will bear fruit, and then say, okay, well, that's good enough. No, he goes on to say more fruit and much fruit. Amen? I'm kind of looking at much fruit and thinking, that's what I want. For the glory of God. 2 Peter 1, an abundant entrance into the kingdom. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lots of gold, silver, and precious stone at the judgment seat. Not wood, hay, and stubble that's gone in a puff of smoke. Jabez says, I want everything God has for me. It's a wonderful scriptural prayer request. And then he said, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not what? Grieve me. You know what the word grieve is? It's really almost identical with Jabez. Sorrow. He's saying, Lord, my name means sorrow and grief, but I pray you'd keep me from that. I pray you'd deliver me from that. I don't have to live down here just because I came from down here. I can overcome by the grace of God and by the blessing of God's good hand going with me. Oh, that's so scriptural. Jesus, so many generations later, stood and preached the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. And he said, when you pray, pray like this. And in that prayer, he said, deliver us from evil. How could you look at Jabez's prayer and say that's a selfish prayer? Jesus almost quoted that part word for word, deliver us. Jesus said, pray that way. Pray that way. Deliver us from evil that it may not grieve us. Deliver me from evil that it may not grieve me. Keep me, protect me from evil. What evil? Maybe the evil within, maybe the evil without. Certainly the evil working of Satan. Certainly anything that could come against us to grieve us and to provoke us to be overwhelmed with sorrow. And look what it says, and God granted him that which he requested. We're saying that his begging was scriptural. It was scriptural begging. I tell my children a lot of times at home when I pray, well, a few times I've said I need to do it more. I've said, that's how you ought to pray. Listen to me pray and pray like that. Now you might be tempted to think, well, whoa, so like you have prayer figured out. No, I don't have it figured out. That's my point. I don't know how to pray other than to try to pray scripturally. And I want my children to learn to pray in a biblical way. And John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And we shouldn't be so arrogant and think we're so smart that we can't be taught to pray. I want to know how to pray, and Jesus taught us how to pray. And there are times I will pray, and I will pray those very things Jesus laid out specifically in that model prayer, and I will apply them here and now, and I will say, you ought to be praying like that, and try to get away from the trite prayers and the empty prayers and the little cliche prayers. Amen? Amen. Let's get away from the little cliche-ridden prayers where we're treating God like he's less important than people that we know in our daily lives. Could you imagine if we talked to each other with all these little cliches all the time? Wouldn't that get old? You'd say, whatever. You ever hear preachers that if you took all the cliches out of their sermon, they'd have about 2 minutes left? I've heard a few like that. And you know what I think? I think they're just little, like Chinese fortune cookie machine, just spitting out these little cliches. I want to hear someone actually preach the Bible. Well, do you think God's pleased and we just have a bunch of cliches that we throw at him? A bunch of little one-liners that we've mastered? How about we look in Scripture and we learn to pray like those people prayed? This is good scriptural praying. And God granted him that which he requested. What he begged for, God gave it to him. He prayed according to the will of God, and God accomplished what he desired. You know, the Scripture says in Psalm, is it 37:4? Is that where it says it? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You can't skip that first part, because if you don't delight in the Lord, the desires of your heart will be a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be a bunch of vanity. But if you delight in the Lord, you will know his mind, you'll understand his thoughts, his words, you'll want what he wants, you'll want him glorified in all the earth, you'll want his will done in earth as it's done in heaven, amen. You'll want kept from evil, you'll know that his is the kingdom and the power, you'll be delighting in him, you'll be praying God's will revealed in Scripture, and he will grant what he has promised. Now, I totally understand if somebody thought, well, wait a minute though, we know that there's times God does grant some requests that people make in lust. Absolutely. For instance, when the Israelites demanded quail, God said, here you go, you can have it. He said, you can have what you're lusting after. We absolutely know that to be true, but when you see that happen in the Bible, it's pointed out, it's noted. Here we see a man praying. Every request in this prayer is scriptural, and God granted him that which he requested. Jabez's prayer was a pious prayer. His begging was biblical begging. His plea was pleasing to the Lord. He was honorable. This was honorable, holy desire on display. This was not lust at all. This would be an excellent prayer for you to pray. Don't treat it like it's some kind of little magic serum that you kind of take, you know. Don't treat it like it's some little, if you just get these words all in this order, then you live however you want, do whatever you want, and God's going to bless you. But you please God, and you keep short accounts with God, and deal with sin, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, and you pray like this, and I believe God is pleased with that type of praying. His blessing was superb. We said his beginning was sorrowful, and his begging was, and his blessing was superb. Maybe I should say his blessing was supernatural. I like the word superb. The word superb means grand, magnificent, rich, and splendid. You might think, well, what did he get? He got what he requested. Didn't you see what he requested? Thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Thine hand might be with me. Thou wouldest keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. God said, you've got it. You can have it. He was blessed of God. He did get to take what God had for him to take in that land. God's hand. Somebody really ought to study and preach a message on the hand of God. Just let me just throw a few things at you real quick. God's hand of strength and authority. When you see God's hand, it talks about strength and authority in Scripture. God's mighty hand. God's merciful hand that reaches down to help us. God's protective hand. The Bible tells us we're in our Father's hand. The Bible says the pastors of the Lord's churches are in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. His preserving hand, his gracious hand, his giving hand. And somebody really ought to preach a message on the hand of God in the Bible. And I like the old song, sometimes I'll sit and play the guitar and sing it, there is an unseen hand. I haven't seen God's hand, but I've seen his handiwork. I haven't seen his hand like, you know, what about when the hand of God showed up there in the book of Daniel? That wasn't all happy and high five and let's have a camp meeting. That was scary. That was God's judgment hand, writing judgment. But what about when Jesus kneeled down and wrote in the sand when that lady was taken in adultery and everybody that saw that decided to give up that whole argument? And Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. How about that? And how about how God's hand, he writes on the fleshy tables of our hearts as one of his churches and shows forth his glory. There'd be a lot of preaching about the hand of God. Somebody really ought to preach on that sometime. There's a challenge for one of our preachers. God's hand was with Jabez. Oh, I liked it when my dad's hand was with me. But I didn't like it so much when his hand was against me. But you know, when his hand was against me growing up, it was because he wanted to have his hand with me. Sometimes he had to chastise me. And that same hand that was loving and that would hold me in prayer and all, he'd have to use that hand to chastise. But God's hand, what a thought, God's hand. But I'm going to keep on going here. He was kept from evil. He got what he prayed for. Did you get it? His coast wasn't large. God's hand was with him. He was kept from evil that it did not grieve him. Now, that is a superb blessing, is it not?
Amen.
A divine blessing, a delightful blessing. And it's a blessing you and I ought to desire and beg God for. We should be encouraged tonight. It doesn't matter what your beginning was. You can call on the God of Israel. One of the finest preachers I've ever heard, and he's older than my father is. He's still young, pretty young, you know. Dad. He's a much older preacher than me. One of the finest preachers I've ever heard. I've never heard him preach where it hasn't been blessed of God and just powerful. And if you knew the background that he came from, I mean, I heard his son once, just mention it for a moment, with tears and with crying. And his son preached and said, I pray to God that our family never goes back into those type of things that God saved my dad out of, what he saved dad out of that wicked family. His beginning was sorrowful. But he's probably somewhere tonight preaching. And the blessing is superb. And that can be the case for you, whether you're a preacher or not. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher or not. I heard an elderly preacher once say, it matters a whole lot more how you finish than how you began. Now, you better be sure you get in through the straight gate, amen? But your beginning, I mean, in this life and where you're from and who birthed you and all that, that's not nearly as important as have you been born again and what road are you on now? No matter what your beginning was, you can call on the God of Israel. He is the name changer, and he's the game changer. Praise the Lord. Let's pray scripturally. Let's pray prayers that we can say, these are scriptural desires that please God. These are desires consistent, excuse me, with the character of God. When I pray these things, I'm not asking God to go against who he is. Amen? Let's pray prayers where we can say, according to thy will. And if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray prayers like that. And let's be blessed. Let's be as blessed as we ought to be by the grace of God as we call upon him. We can be blessed. We are a blessed people. But let's get everything God has for us. Let's get it all. You say, well, what is it, preacher? What's it? I don't know what it looks like for me and for you and for this church. But whatever it is, I just want to know we got it all. I don't want to be, as that same preacher I mentioned preached a couple years ago. He preached about David and how David sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah. And the Bible then goes on to say that Nathan the prophet said to him, God did this for you and this for you and this for you. And if that wasn't enough, God said, I would have done such and such things. And that preacher preached on missing out on such and such things. I don't want that. You don't want that. We want to get all the land God has for us to get. Amen? Amen? And so let's do it, and let's pray, and let's trust God. Let's be blessed as Jabez, who had a beginning that was, but his begging was scriptural, and his blessing was superb. Father, use this preaching, we pray. This is just Bible preaching. We're just trying to see what's in the Scripture and bring it forth and present it. And hopefully, Lord, well, we just trust you to drive it into our hearts. Lord, messages like these, I'm afraid that so often, even as a preacher and as hearers, we can take it for granted. Lord, honestly, every time the Word is preached like this, we ought to think to ourselves, this is life-changing right here. This is life-changing right here. Lord, there could be people, there could be everybody in this room tonight that gets a hold of this and says, that's what I need. That's what I want. I want to live like Jabez. I want to pray like Jabez. I want to live according to God's will as it's revealed in the Word of God. Help us, we pray. And Lord, I pray. I've already prayed today for every single member of this church and all, even these little children that are not yet saved, Lord, that we trust will be saved and join your church. I've already prayed, but I do it again. I pray for us. that thou wouldest bless us indeed and enlarge our coast, and that thine hand might be with us, and thou wouldest keep us from evil, that it may not grieve us. And we believe you're still the same God of Israel and the same God of Jabez, and will grant what we request. For we pray it in Jesus' name, and thank you. Amen. 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 Take that home with you. Hold on to that. Hey, maybe go over that in Bible time, heads of houses, men. Amen. Maybe go over that in family Bible time in the next few days or the next week and talk about that when it's family prayer time.